This morning, we're going to be focusing on a part of our mission or vision statement. We're going to be talking about community and fellowship with each other and what the body is like. And sometimes voluntary organizations, such as charities or private schools or churches, talk about recruitment wars. There are lots of volunteer slots that need to be filled and only a few people to fill them. So one of the ways to do that is, from the example of these posters during a war, is "I want you," says Uncle Sam with a stern look on his face. Or through a kind of a guilt or pressure, "Every fit Briton should join our brave men at the front, enlist now." Or even scare tactics, the thin khaki line, the few men that are working at the front. "Keep the fate of Belgium from your hearth and home. Get into khaki now." There's this pressure and guilting to make you participate. Well, the church is a voluntary organization too, but we're going to reset and look at what Scripture says about the body, the church, as a starting place as we begin this season together. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 12. You can follow along, but you can also listen, because we're going to be reading it interactively with these three readers here, so you can listen as well. Paul is talking about the body, the church. He says there are different kinds of gifts,
but the same Spirit distributes them.
There are different kinds of service,
but the same Lord.
There are different kinds of working,
but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work.
Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given
for the common good.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body,
so it is with Christ.
For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Even so, the body is not made up of one part,
but of many.
Now, if the foot should say,
"Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,"
it would not for that reason start being part of the body.
And if the ear should say,
"Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,"
it would not for that reason stop being part of the body.
If the whole body were an eye,
where would the sense of hearing be?
If the whole body were an ear,
where would the sense of smell be?
But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be.
If they were all one part, where would the body be?
As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand,
"I don't need you."
And the head cannot say to the feet,
"I don't need you."
On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable.
And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor.
And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment.
But God has put the body together,
giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body,
but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
For if one part suffers,
every part suffers with it.
If one part is honored,
every part rejoices with it.
Now you are the body of Christ,
and each one of you is a part of it.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, like most things Christian, a proper sense of serving doesn't start with our personal point of view. And it doesn't even start with what's in here or what's out there, the people that are out there, the needs out there. And it certainly doesn't start, I haven't been part of any meetings of church leaders meeting in a dark corner at night plotting who they should be targeting for certain slots in the church. No, like most things Christian, a proper sense starts way before that. It starts with God. It starts with this principle. God is the great gift giver. It's a passage about God. Yeah, it is about abilities and parts and people and things that need to be done together. But without God, none of this would be happening. Here's some of what God gives us. God gives us, it says, different gifts. That word is charismata. And charis, the first part of it, is the Greek word for grace. And so this is actually like little graces or gracelets, I like to think of it. So there is God, and he, sort of like drops of water goes whoop on people, and he distributes gracelets to people. And these gracelets lead to different kinds of service. There it is, diaconia. You recognize that as our word deacons comes from that. Service, diaconia. The gifts lead to service and different kinds of working, it says, which is this Greek word energeimata, which you see our word energy in, right? So God gives gracelets, which lead to service and different kinds of passions that we have, that we work out of, energizings that we have with these graces, these gifts that God has given us. Now, it's common misconception in the church to think, well, of course there are gifted people. They're the ones that we pay, right? That's why we have ministers and ministry directors and worship coordinators. We get them to do the work. But that's not what this passage says. In fact, it emphasizes exactly the opposite. You see, the word diaconia is this word service, but it's also the word ministry in Greek. There's no differentiation between ministry and service. It's not like a minister or ministry is something else, something higher than kind of serving or doing things with your hand. In God's book, there's no division between ministry and serving. There's no capital letter ministers who have what it takes to do this, that, and then the rest of us just serve. I mean, you could say that just serve is an oxymoron in God's scheme. Those two words can't go together, that understanding. So God gives gifts. Well, who does he give gifts to? The gifted people, the ones who stand up front? No, God, it says very clearly, gives gifts to everyone. God gives gifts to everyone. It emphasizes that. Now, to each one, every single one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. And it says it again. He gives them to each one, just as he determines. So, who has gifts? Everyone. And I think we need to say that together. So I'm going to ask you a couple of rhetorical questions, and your answer is everyone, okay, to say out loud together. So who has gifts? Everyone. So who can serve? Everyone. Who is needed? Everyone. Who has a part to play? Everyone. And there's also another important gift that God gives us. Lest we think that this serving is overwhelming by ourselves, God gives us community. God gives us the body. Because there are parts for all these gracelets, but they're in a body. And God has arranged that just as he wants it to be. And as it makes clear, if it was all one part, where would the body be? So there are many parts, many bracelets, many kinds of service, many energizings, but there is one body. Whatever is accomplished is done together. There aren't any lone ranger Christians. Instead, there are communities of believers working together. Paul uses the body as an example. We can look at our own bodies as an example. The more you know about a body, your own body, and sometimes you only start to learn more when a part of it doesn't function properly, right? When it breaks down. And then you start learning about what this part of your body actually all does and what you need it to do. And those parts all make up systems. We have a circulatory system. Every part of that needs to work properly. We have a digestive system. All kinds of things go into play in that. And every part has to function well to make the whole of it work well. As any of us know who have parts that don't work well, I have a pancreas that doesn't work well, so I'm diabetic. And then I need some kind of aid, or I need to adjust something else. Or if you have a liver or a kidney or lungs that don't work well, it affects everything. Or if you have a chemical imbalance in your brain and you have a depression or a mental illness, it affects everything about you, also your religious inclinations. So think of it this way. Imagine that you need a new body organ. Let's say it's a kidney that you need. And the surgeon comes to you and he says, well, I have good news and I have bad news. Which one do you want? You say, well, give me the good news first. And the surgeon says, well, the good news is I have an organ for you. And you are delighted. So, but what's the bad news? Well, the bad news is it's a tonsil. Oh, a tonsil? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You can't put a tonsil in the place of a kidney. It cannot do what a kidney is supposed to do. And so body parts and the whole of the body fits together in a specific way. And God has reasons for giving gifts to everyone. It says it this way. God gifts each one of us for the good of the whole. The goodness of the gifts is shared. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The question is, do we know that? And is that how we act? Do we know that we are indispensable? We are needed. There's this little, there's a kid's movie called The Ant Bully. Maybe if you don't have children, grandchildren, nieces, I don't know. Maybe you haven't seen it. But I found something very instructive in this little movie. There's this boy who is destructive towards ants, and through some magic, he gets brought down to the size of an ant, and he has to go and live among them. And as you can imagine, that experience changes his heart and his understanding and his view towards ants. And there's a scene in it where he and his new ant friend are looking out over the lights of the city at night. And his aunt starts to ask him, well, what's it like in the human colony? How do things work there? And the boy says, oh, well, this and that. And he gives some description of it. And then he makes a comment that things don't always work all that well. Oh, why not? Well, because, you know, people are so different from each other and they don't always get along and it doesn't work all that well. So he means that differences separate and divide. But his aunt friend is astonished by this observation. And he comes back and says this, but it's the differences that make a colony strong. foragers, scouts, drones, nurses, regurgitators, I hope I'm not one of those, are all different, but an essential part of the whole. This is where we ants draw our strength. We're actually made stronger because we're different, because we have different parts to play, and that's how the whole of it can function. So not all of us have the same gifts. Not one of us can do the job alone, even if we are employed by an organization. And no one of us is called to do more than we should or less than we should, but we are called to play our part in the body. It's together that we can accomplish God's mission. This is the mission statement that this congregation has adopted, and we re-looked at it through our transition process and decided, no, this is good, we can keep this. But we wanted to change the emphasis a little bit to community, to include this neighborhood more than just only communities scattered. But let's recite this together. Let's state this together, our mission statement. We are a fellowship rooted in biblical faith. We share the love of Jesus Christ, reaching out to one another and to the communities in which God has placed us. We can do this if we do it together. If we do it together financially, physically, through working, if we do it together through prayer. I've been hearing a number of comments lately about the increased need for prayer as we're on this transition together. The phrase for the common good, that we do this for the common good, is a Greek word, symphero, S-Y-M, like sympathy, symphony. Doing together is what that means. And phero means to carry together. God has given it so we can carry together and together accomplish what needs to be accomplished. It's a picture of us each carrying our gift and offering it to each other, sort of like a potluck dinner where somebody brings something extravagant, someone brings something simple, someone brings much, someone brings little, but together, when it's put on the table, it is a feast and it is enough for everyone. That's God's picture of the church and the gifts that God has given for serving the common good. So as a congregation, we're moving ahead. We've been through a transition process, and we've determined some directional statements together. And we know that there is a lot to do. But God says you have what it takes. You are a body. And where you are lacking, you can look for another part to come in and help you to do what you need. What is your part? Paul gives some instructions for body parts that are really crucial. First of all, he says, no inferiority allowed. You heard that very clearly. Oh, I just know how to bake. I just serve coffee. I just fix a printer. There's no I just in the church. Every part is needed. And you can't do a comparison game where you say, well, I can't do that. I could never sing up front or play the piano. So, you know, who am I? People don't know who I am. I'm just here in the background. But the body has all kinds of background functions that are crucial for it to maintain its health. There's another ant movie that shows an ant colony where inferiority is actually encouraged. It's the movie Ants. And it begins with one aunt, whose name is Z, in a counseling session with a therapist. And he's complaining about his life, and he said, I think my problems go back to my childhood, and, you know, if you're one of 5 million children, how can you ever get any attention? It's Woody Allen. And then when he brings everything down at the end, he says, I feel insignificant. And the therapist says, excellent, you've had a breakthrough. And Z says, I have? Yes, says the therapist, you are insignificant. And you see, as the movie progresses, that there's a big evil scheme by the bully ants, the warrior, the army ants, to destroy all the other ants so that they can take over the colony. And they have all these worker ants, like Z, building a project that's actually going to destroy him. But that's not how our God works. God put the body together, and he did it right. And if you're here at Fellowship Church, you're here for a reason. There's a place for you. There's a part you need to play. The body is an organism, not one organ. Many parts have to operate in an organism together to make it work. And there are some have a public function and some have a behind-the-scenes function, but they're all needed. Just because you can't see your liver daily doesn't mean you want to live without it, or your brain or whatever. So much of what happens we can't see, but it's essential. Tied to that is a kind of an opposite. No superiority allowed. Some parts of the body can't say to others, you're insignificant, we don't need you. And that's what led to the situation in that movie Ants, that the soldier ants said, we don't need the rest of you. But of course, even for them, the colony couldn't have functioned without the others. And another thing for us to focus on is to be like Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the most important person, the most important man, let's say, in this book that we have. And it traces all kinds of centuries of prophecy about him coming, and then his obedience in life and his death, his resurrection and his ascension. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. There's no man like Jesus. We honor him. We sing songs to him. We worship him. But this is his own definition of what he did and what his understanding of what he did was. In the same way, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people. And Jesus is our example in this way too, that we are called to be like him. He calls us to serve others just as Jesus did. And Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Maybe you're not sure what your part is. Well, one suggestion is to try something new, to volunteer, to find out. Because this congregation, too, is a body with many parts, and there are ministries and committees and teams. There are public systems and systems behind the scenes, and we need each other to make the whole of it work. There are various kinds of teams. There are various kinds of committees. You are each assigned to a faith group. Your faith group misses you if you do not join it, because you are a part of that as well. So brothers and sisters, there's a place for you, a place for you to serve, yes, but also a place for you to be served, a place for you to give, and a place for you to grow. In Christ, we are a body, and we need each other. Let me lead you in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the body. We thank you for the body of Christ as we tasted it again this morning and saw that it was good and that it nourishes us. Thank you for your grace given to us through Jesus. Thank you, too, for your gracelets, your gifts, scattered around among your people and given to each one of us. Thank you that we can bring those gifts and serve one another and serve your world so that your kingdom may come and your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, stir in us the desire for prayer so that we may encourage one another in that way as well, and that we may be seeking your face about your future for us as a congregation. Bless us, Lord. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. God, we've already thanked you for so many things. Our hearts are filled with joy on these days of beauty and blue sky and green grass. And we thank you, along with that, of our own safety from the hurricanes and some of the terrible things that have been happening, devastating islands and coasts and homes and destroying the ways that people live. And so, Lord, from our own safety and security, we do pray for those who are affected by this. We pray for those who are helping as well, who are reaching in to help. And we pray for our own ministry agency of our denomination as it is responding as well. And Lord, we pray that you will give wisdom and coordination of services so that aid can reach people as quickly as possible. We pray for those who are grieving through that event, but also through other things in life. People that are grieving losses and empty spaces, whether that is of people or jobs or relationships or other things that have been lost that they have needed to let go of. And Lord, in that vein, we pray for Fred and Ina Kuntz, who are suffering from various illnesses or afflictions in their aging and are having a special difficulty. And we pray, Lord, that you will give them strength, that you will give them courage, and also that you will give them the gift of joy that only you can give, that they too may experience daily that they are not their own, but that they belong body and soul to their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, for all of us in whatever stage of life we are on, especially as we've thought about bodies this morning and we know that our own bodies break down and decay and things are changing, not always for the better. We pray that you will give us grace day by day for that journey. We pray, Lord, with thanksgiving that Bauk is back in church with us after such a long absence. And we thank you for that grace in her life. And along with that, we pray for others who have been hospitalized over the past while or are moving or are in some other stage of transition. And Lord, we ask that you give them all that they need to make those transitions smoothly. We pray for the transition of going back to school. We thank you for those who are leading in such ways in schools or universities at whatever level. And we pray, Lord, specifically for students from our own congregation who have returned to their place of study. We pray, Lord, that you will guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and that you will draw them close to you, that their lives may be lived in service to you. We thank you, Lord, for Toronto District Christian High School in that regard, and the offering that we took today, we pray that it will bless the lives of many students and teachers and all those that are involved in a community such as that. We thank you for your word and spirit and for your people that we can gather here together like this. Lord, strengthen us for what you are calling us to do, and give us wisdom as we seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen.